This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're going to low Earth orbit with Bob Zimmerman, who is offering his list of books. Your subscriptions are always welcome. So are your donations. But if you pledge more than $35, you have an opportunity for Bob's books, Pioneer, Living Earth, The Story of Apollo 8, called Genesis and Conscious Choice. But right now, thanks to Bob, we're in low Earth orbit with the success of Rocket Lab. Bob, there's a detail here, but congratulations, Rocket Lab. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, I just so everyone knows, I'm doing one week quickie fundraiser for Christmas, essentially, for the Christmas season. And I'm giving away, if you donate a little extra, free books, my books. So if people are interested, they can donate to Behind the Black. Any donation or subscription, of course, is welcome. Thank you for mentioning this, John. Rocket Lab had a successful launch late last week. But what made that launch especially interesting is they were going to attempt to capture the first stage for reuse. They've been doing tests where they bring the first stage down with parachutes gently into the ocean, and then they recover them. In fact, they did this so successfully, they were able to actually test an engine and have it work perfectly, even though it had been in salt water for a period of time. And so what they want to do, though, is catch the stage before it hits the ocean with a helicopter, where the helicopter would snatch the parachute and then carry it to dry land and gently put it on the ground, and then it could be reused with almost no refurbishing necessary. And so this successful launch late last week, they were going to attempt with the helicopter to catch the first stage. This would be the second time they tried to do this. In May, they caught it, but the stresses were too much on the helicopter, so the pilot let the stage go. This time, they got their satellite customer in orbit again successfully, and then the stage was coming down, but the pilot scrubbed the attempt to catch it because he was not getting telemetry from the first stage. And for safety reasons, he gets this, that gives him data about its speed and distance, and even though he can see it, it's really dangerous to try to do things like this merely by eye. Having real telemetry, real numbers is really necessary. So he made a choice not to catch it. It landed in the ocean, and the company has recovered it, and they'll, of course, do tests with it as well, and they'll try again. You know, people remember when SpaceX was trying to land its first stage, for the first, like, year of attempts, they would just bring the first stage down, trying to hit their targets, and they had a lot of failures, but it doesn't cost their customers anything. They got the payloads in orbit, and this is a free way to test the technology, and that's exactly what Rocket Lab is going through right now.
The original cast of Star Trek and many of the production managers are looking to get into orbit, but it's an unusual presentation. How so, Bob?
There's a company called Celestis that will send the remains of individuals as well as DNA samples on launches into space. Sometimes those launches have been suborbital. Sometimes they've been low Earth orbit, so eventually the material returns back to Earth. In the past, they've sent remains and cremated remains of Star Trek's creator Gene Roddenberry and his wife, as well as Scotty Doohan, James Scotty Doohan, you know, played Scotty on the show, as well as Douglas Trimble, one of the special effects greats of Hollywood. And once again, so there's a flight coming up in which they're going to send more samples into space, and they're calling it the Enterprise mission because it's not only going to include samples, DNA samples from Roddenberry and Michelle Roddenberry, as well as Scotty Doohan, but it's going to include Nichelle Nichols and DeForest Kelly, as well as associate producer Bob Justman from the original series, who was a key player in making that series as good as it was. What makes this flight even more significant is that the package of cremated remains and DNA samples will be part of a Vulcan rocket that's going to escape Earth orbit and enter solar orbit. This is the first Vulcan launch. It's going to be taking a private lunar land to the moon, which means that the upper stage will leave Earth orbit, and it won't go to the moon, but it'll be in solar orbit, and it's going to have these remains on it. And that's an orbit means those remains will stay in space forever. So it's wonderful.
iSpace, a private Japanese enterprise, is now licensed to do business on the moon. This seems fantastic, Bob. The last time I checked, wasn't it a lander they were going to do? What are they setting up shop on the moon?
iSpace is a private company. It's going to put a lander on the moon, but as a private company, the payloads are customers of theirs. And one of those customers is a NASA payload that is going to be, from what I can understand, gathering a sample. And that sample is going to have to be transferred to ownership of NASA. And so to do that transfer, because the spacecraft is iSpace's, so they made a deal, two different contracts with NASA and Europe, to first collect this sample on this particular mission, and then later the Europe will send a sample return mission to grab the sample and bring it back. Well, to bring it back, they've got to transfer ownership to NASA and to Europe. So that's what they're going to do. But to do that, they have to follow the regulations as set by Japan. The way the Outer Space Treaty is written, each country is responsible for regulating the private operations of its citizens in space. And so Japan's rules are basically you must get a license to try to do business in space. And so they've now obtained, iSpace has now obtained a license from Japan allowing it to do private business on the moon. And what will happen on the November 22nd, this lander will go to the moon. It'll land a few days later. When it lands, they will do a transaction transferring ownership of that lunar material to NASA. That mission will also have the Rashid UAE rover, which will roll off the lander and start to wander around for a few days. And so this is a first private mission, and then they've got permission to do a private mission in space now, John.
What is the H-3 rocket, Bob?
H-3. Japan is terrible with names. They should really come up with a name instead of H-3. Their old rocket was the H-2A. Anyway, the H-2A is very expensive. It's been a problem. They cannot compete with anybody else. So Japan decided it was going to build, its space agency, JAXA, decided they were going to build a new rocket called the H-3. It's not reusable. It had significant problems with cracks found in the engines 2 years ago, so its launch has been delayed for 2 years. However, they have now successfully completed a static fire test of this H-3 rocket, and that means the first stage is getting closer to being ready, which means that their new target date of a launch next year is approaching, and that's a good sign for them, John. Whether they can ever get any business outside of Japan is questionable. The rocket is supposed to be cheaper than the H-2A, but it doesn't look like it's going to be anywhere cheap enough.
Private enterprise in India for a rocket launch. Is this a first, Bob, in India, private company?
Yes, it is. India's government space program has always at least been attempting to be competitive and earn profit by getting market share when it does launches. And that's been a good thing about it. It's kept them somewhat efficient because they're trying to make business. However, it's always been government run. And the Modi government in charge is trying to emulate NASA in the United States, where they're transferring business away from the government, where the government will buy the business from private companies. And they have allowed private companies now to use the resources of the Indian Space Agency, ISRO, to help develop their own private operations. So a new company called Skyroot, which has, by the way, raised $51 million in private investment capital, they are now scheduling the first test launch of a suborbital version of their Vikram rocket sometime mid-November. This is not an orbital version, but it's a test launch to test the engineering of their first stage of the Vikram rocket. And they hope by next year to be launching this rocket into orbit and get customers. And they are a private company. They are not a part of India's space agency or government operations. And so this is a good sign. The bureaucracy in India is very powerful, and to break free of that power has been difficult, and this looks like the first step into doing that, John.
What is Orbital Tug, and what is their agreement with a rocket startup from Germany?
It's a French orbital tug company called ExoTrail, and it's basically another one of those companies that's building small tugs that can move small sats from one orbit to another, so they get launched in the wrong orbit, but the tug brings them to the correct orbit. And so they have signed an agreement with a German rocket startup company called ISAR Aerospace. This company is one of three German companies that are trying to be the first to launch a private rocket. And so Germany's got three, and they all have investment capital, and they've all been pretty successful. I saw aerospace here. None have launched, by the way, even though they've been moving forward successfully. I saw aerospace, though. This is its second orbital tug contract. It previously got an orbit from an Italian company, a contract from an Italian company called D-Orbit. And so both contracts will fly on ISAR's rocket Spectrum, which they hope to launch for the first time next year. There's going to be a lot of rocket companies appearing in the next few years, John.
A lot of rocket companies doing different parts of what used to be done in one fell swoop by big space. So they're dividing up their tasks, Bob. They're specializing within the understanding that you've got a booster, you've got a payload, you're going into orbit and with a satellite. That was one swoop. That's what SpaceX does. But these companies are all different aspects of it. It's as if we're wandering into a parts department for automobile company.
Exactly. And part of the reason this is happening is when you've got freedom and innovation, by offering a tug company where you can move a satellite into the right orbit, you suddenly provide satellite companies options they did not have before. So that's business. There's a way to make money. And so that's why you're seeing this beginning to happen. It's kind of like in the auto industry. You know, you have cars being built, and the original days of cars, the car company provided the gasoline. Well, someone comes along and says, you know what, I'm going to make a gas station. And so gas stations start to be into a completely different industry servicing the cars. Well, that's beginning to happen now in the satellite and space rocket industry, and it's a good sign. It means the industry is beginning to mature.
The Islamic Republic of Iran is non-transparent and untrustworthy and a predator. However, at the same time, it does have a launch program that, is it consistent with weaponizing, Bob, or is this separate from a weapon booster?
That's a really good question. They say they did a successful test launch of the first stage of a new rocket they called Gaiem 100. I think I'm pronouncing that right. It's a solid fueled rocket. Now, it's only the first stage. They hope this rocket will eventually be, with multiple stages, will be used to launch their communication satellites and do, you know, satellite operations, commercial operations, not military. That's what they claim. But it's a solid fueled rocket, and almost all solid fuel rockets worldwide originally come out of missile programs, because solid fuel rockets, you can store them for a long time and then fly them. And so therefore they're ready to go whenever you need them. They use for ICBMs. And so this rocket is certainly coming out of Iran's missile program. And as one of my own readers noted immediately after I posted this on Behind the Black, gee, a single stage suborbital like this solid rocket, you put a nuclear warhead on that and it easily could reach Tel Aviv. So is this military or is this commercial? Yes. We have to treat it either one, John, especially because it's solid fuel.
Richard Branson, there are two companies, and I'm not going to speak of one of them. I am going to speak of the other one that needs money. Which one is that, Bob?
Yes, this is Virgin Orbit. Virgin Orbit is the successful space company that came out of Richard Branson's attempts over the last two decades to become a space cadet and make profit. And this is the one that has been somewhat successful, and I've been pretty positive about it. They actually have become operational. They have launched commercial satellites. They are one of the six or so commercial companies, rocket companies in the United States that are actually putting satellites up. They're about to do the first launch with using a 747 first stage to launch out of a runway in Cornwall, England. It'll be the first launch out of the UK. However, maybe not as all is not well in Virgin Orbit land for Branson, because they have not gotten the number of launches they thought. So their customer base might not be as high as they wanted. And for this reason, it appears, they have had to get an investment of $25 million in November from Branson's Virgin Group in order to stay liquid. So in other words, Branson, who's in charge of Virgin Group, has transferred some cash over to Virgin Orbit to keep it from going out of business, essentially. So even though they're operational and they are successfully launching satellites, their business model is apparently not bringing them the customers they hoped for. And that's unfortunate. But, you know, that's the way capitalism and freedom works, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.